concerning me. And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Now, this is not my subject tonight, but I do want to leave this with you. It is very important that you know who Jesus is. The words that come from your mouth is very important. So Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? And thank God for Peter. You know, he made a lot of mistakes, just like we have. But he did a lot of good. He said a lot of good things. Simon Peter answered and said, this is verse 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, little rock, and on this rock, big rock, rock of Gibraltar, mighty rock, I will build my church. Are you listening? Are you following me? Jesus says, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. And he went on to say, let me go ahead and read this, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Glory be to God. Jesus is very interested in his church. Jesus is very interested in his people. You hear me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, having read that, let's go back to the book of Revelation. Now, Jesus already made the statement, and these words are eternal. Did you hear what I'm saying? These words are eternal. Upon this rock, this is what Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. Hell will come out against the church, but it will never prevail. Amen. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, if you like me, I read the end of the book. We win, folks. Amen. We win, folks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, let's go back to the book of Revelations. Revelation, I should say, the second chapter. And last week, we were at the church of Ephesus. And I think you've been here, you know the story of John, the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos, and how Jesus appeared to him. And explained some things to him that he was seeing. Now, this book of Revelation is also, it talks about future events, some things that have not yet happened. And some of the things that it talks about, we don't want to be here when they happen. Now, is there amen out there? Praise God. You don't want to be here when it happens. Thank God, I'm not going to be here. If you're born again, you're not going to be here either. Hallelujah. Because we witness in the book of Revelation the wrath of God being poured out on the earth and on the wicked of this earth. But Jesus established something here at the beginning, and he talks about the church. He talks about the angels of the church. He talks about the church itself. The church itself being the lampstand, which is what do lamps do? They show light. Amen. The lamp lights up the darkness. The lamp lights up the darkness. And so, think about that for a moment. Sometimes we just need to stop and think, or stop and ponder some things that we read in the Word of God. Why would Jesus refer to the church as the lampstand? Well, if the church is doing what it's supposed to be doing, it's being light. It's shining in darkness. Amen? And that's not the only place we see it, but Jesus himself told us that we are the light of the world, right? We are the light of the world. The world is in darkness. The world is in darkness, but we are the light. Amen? And guess what? You ever thought about this? Sometime you go in a dark room, and when you turn on the light, if there are any bugs or anything in there, they start scampering. I mean, man, they don't want to be, God forbid you have any cockroaches, but if there happen to be some in there, man, they going for the darkness, man. They don't want to be in the light. They don't want to be exposed. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the way this world is. It doesn't want to be exposed. When the light come on, oh my goodness. But here's the good thing about it. We won't turn back over to the Gospel of John. But the Gospel of John says that this light will never be extinguished. The darkness can never put the light out. Light is more powerful than darkness. Yeah. Light is more powerful than darkness. So whenever the light shines, whatever is in darkness is exposed. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Praise God. So Jesus referred to the church as a lampstand, or if you're reading your King James Bible, it calls it candlestick, but lampstand, bearer of light, giver of light. Praise God. Now, he told John to write to the seven churches of Asia. We can find in those seven churches many things that's actually going on in churches today, some good, some not so good. Are you listening to me? So I think we need to hear what the chief shepherd of the church is saying to the churches. Now, we got started last week. Let me read it to you again, chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, hallelujah, who walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Glory to God. Jesus is right in our midst. Hallelujah. He knows what's going on. Verse 2 tells us, He's speaking. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. It was an active church, okay? It was an active church. Now they had their issues, but it was a hard working church. Those were hard working people. Now you have to understand, the church is made up of individuals. An assembly is made up of individuals. Y'all know that, right? Amen. So these people were working hard, man. They were doing the work of the ministry. They were hard workers, and even in tough times, you have to understand now, they were in Ephesus, and Ephesus was a very, very sinful place, okay? It was a very sinful place. But even in the midst of that, they was being persecuted and so forth, but yet they were hard workers. They were hard workers, and Jesus commended them for that. They went through hard times, and they didn't quit. And he also commended them on the fact that they did not tolerate evil people. In other words, they didn't tolerate sin. Amen. And neither should we. We should never, ever hate sinners. Because that's what all of us were at one time, sinners. We should never hate sinners. We should love sinners, not their sin, but you love the person. Amen? All right, let's move on. Hallelujah. Now, and he goes on to talk about the fact that they didn't tolerate evil people. In other words, they didn't get involved in their sins, and they didn't tolerate false apostles. They didn't tolerate, in other words, they recognized which ones were of God and the ones that were not. And we talked about this, but just because you say you're an apostle, don't make you an apostle. God makes apostles. God calls people to be apostles. So we're not going to listen to you. Hallelujah. Now, let's look again at verse 2. Jesus says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them and have found them liars. Verse 3. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. That's a blessing, isn't it? I said, that's a blessing, isn't it? I'm pausing here for a reason. Now, Jesus just commended them for their good work. And then verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Wow. You are laboring. You are hard workers. You're doing the work of the ministry. But you've left your first love. This happens to a lot of people. There's a song that I remember when I was younger. And many of you, I'm sure, heard heard the same song. Matter of fact, my late brother sang this song. He used to lead the choir at the church we were attending at that time. This was back in the early 70s, might have even been in the late 60s, I'm not sure. But anyway, I don't really know the name of the song, and this may be the name of the song, but it goes like this. May the works that I've done speak for me. Anybody remember that song? Well, now, listen, when we leave this earth, you know, when we're gone, people need to remember the good works that we have done for the glory of God. Amen? We should never say, oh, yeah, they And Jesus was letting this church know, look, when y'all first got saved and you were fired up for me, you know, and you had fellowship and we fellowship together and you loved me, and now you've drifted away. See? To drift away, because you can know how to sing on the choir. You can know how to do all these things. Matter of fact, there are folks that I believe I'm right, but if I'm wrong, this is a good place to change it right now. But there are folks that sing on choirs, and they are good singers. Man, when they start singing, folks are up clapping and jumping and shouting, and they are a good group of singers, but they don't like each other. They don't even talk to each other. Until time to come together to sing. Folks are blessed. But then lives are not in order. Now you folks hear the word of life. That y'all not like that, ain't that right? Huh?
Amen.
Yeah, all right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Giving is a good thing, isn't it? But sometimes folks, they want it made public how much they give. Now if they're giving a dollar, they don't, you know. But if they're giving big money, man, they want the whole church to know about it. because it makes them look good. That's not the right. It's not competition. None of us should ever compete with each other when it comes to the things of God. We are called to work together. Everybody say work together. Amen. Work together. Work together. Because we're all. You can pray as good as somebody else. This is not competition. This is working together. Amen. For the glory of God. Amen. And I've been in those type of environments, man, where, you know, I gotta be the best. I gotta be the best. I gotta be the best. No, you need to give God the glory. Y'all still with me? We don't want to be like this church Jesus was talking about. They were hard workers, and he commended them on all the wonderful things they were doing as a church. And I believe folks were getting saved, probably getting healed, and a lot of good things was happening. And Jesus gives credit where credit is due. But he also look at this underlying stuff. Well, don't the Bible say God looks at the heart? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. He wants our heart right. He wants our heart right towards one another. He wants our hearts right and our attitudes right towards him. He wants his due recognition. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go back to verse 4, chapter 2, Revelation. Nevertheless, I have this, and this is Jesus talking. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
Repent and do the what? First word. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. What's more important than anything else is who we are spiritually. Amen. God forbid that we put on a show for the public, but in private, we are a totally different person. I think I need to say that again. God forbid that we put on a show in public in the name of the Lord, but in private, we are a totally different person. And when we are in private, guess what? Jesus is right there with us. Yes, he is. Amen. We got to remember that. We're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus told this group, you folk don't get it together, I'm going to move your lampstand. Now, I suppose that could mean a couple of things and maybe more than that. But they could definitely lose their anointing. Or maybe the entire church at some point will just fold up and become Ichabod. Or maybe the church will continue and they're just going through the formalities, through the motions, through just doing what they know to do. A thing can become a routine thing. How many of you, there are certain things that you do in your life? I'm not talking about anything wrong. I'm not talking about that. Just being yourself. But things that you do that you don't even think about it. You've been doing it so long, you just do it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You just do it. I mean, it's just a natural thing. It's a habit. You don't even have to think anymore. Your body just knows to do that at a certain time. Well, you know what? That can also happen in churches where this is the way we've been doing it for years, so we just do it this way, but there's no life in it. There's no anointing there. Why? Because the anointing has lifted and all the folks are doing is just continuing to do what they always did. So it could mean a number of things. Amen. God forbid that happened to us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All righty. Let's read on for a few more minutes. My goodness, time is flying. Wow. Look at verse 6. Jesus is still talking. He said, "But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." Wow. How many of you know hate is a powerful word? Jesus said, now, it's on the screen here, "But this you have." In other words, here he's commending them again. "But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans." And Jesus said, "Which I hate." Now notice he didn't say, "I hate the Nicolaitans." He didn't say that. He said, "I hate their deeds. I hate their sin." Wow. I don't know how much time I'm going to have here. But Jesus hated their deeds. He hated their works. Matter of fact, he found their works repulsive. He hated it. Now, it is believed that, and some of the biblical historians looked into this, and they believe that the Nicolaitans are spiritual descendants, are spiritual children of Nicholas. Nicholas. Now you may be thinking, wow, who is that? Let's go to the book of Acts, 5th chapter. Y'all still with me? Now notice, remember, Jesus said, I hate the deeds, or I hate the works of the Nicolaitans. Now, in the book of Acts, did I tell you chapter 6 or did I tell you 5? I apologize, I was wrong, chapter 6. Verse 5 is what I meant to say. Matter of fact, let's go back up to verse 1. Let's not start right there in the middle. Now in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now this, folks, this is a sermon right here. And I will throw this in. Everybody look at me. The pastor is not supposed to do everything. Amen. Can I get another amen on that? Thought I'd throw that one in. So let's go to verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this what? Business. Say it again. Hallelujah. And by the way, just in case you didn't know it, they were appointing deacons. Deacons. Let me read 3 again. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men. By the way, deacons are not supposed to be just anybody off the street. Deacons shouldn't be chosen because they give the most money. No, we need to keep it scriptural. Therefore, brethren, seek out among you 7 men, listen at the first one, good reputation. You see that? Good reputation. Shouldn't be sleeping around, shouldn't be a thief, and we could go on and on and on, of good reputation. In other words, the folks out in the community know who that person is, and they know that, that's a godly person there. That's a godly person. They're living right, they're honest, and we know so. You don't want them to say, honey, can you believe this? Such and such church just appointed Mr. Such and Such to be a deacon. Y'all know how he is. Good reputation. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And wisdom. Got some sense. And then it goes on to say who we may appoint over this business. to help make sure these widows are taken care of, to help take care so that the pastors can spend time with God, hear from God, and the church still goes on. The business of the church is still going strong. And the minister don't have to come out on Sunday or some other day and, hey folks, good to see y'all. I sure am tired though. The message gonna be short today. Because I've been working all night long. No, it shouldn't be that way. God never intended it to be that way. Pastor Guru wrote a powerful book. If you can ever get your hands on it, I recommend you get it. Every ministry needs help. But not just any help, but the right kind of help. Amen? All right, where did I stop at? Okay. Now, it goes on to say, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and what? Ministry of what? Amen. Now, I find myself that I feel so much better ministering the word when I've had time to spend time with God. And, oh, by the way, can I throw this in there too? Not only spend time with God, but had time to take a nap. Amen. Yes, sir. Now, you may not have been able to tell the difference, but I've been up here with a nap and I've been up here without one. I could tell the difference. And you might have too, I don't know. And verse 5, now this is where I was going. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and now they're choosing the deacons now, and they chose Stephen, and notice what it says about Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now they said that about Stephen. He was named first. And his reputation was mentioned as well. It goes on to say, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and what's the next one? Nicholas, a proselyte. Nicholas wasn't even a Jew. He was a proselyte. In other words, someone preached the gospel to him and he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved. Now, even before that, it seems to indicate that Nicholas actually was believed in the Jewish faith even before he got saved. Because he was a proselyte. He was a Gentile. That it seems to have been converted to the Jewish faith and then heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. This was Nicholas. Nicholas got off to a good start. And of verse 6 says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And I want to say this, and then we'll move on. Man, wow, I'm about to run out of time. Well, y'all come back next week, because I want to deal with this further. But because I don't want to keep you here all night either. So they set them before the apostles, and when they had prayed, laid their hands on them, and listen at this, verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And I'm going to close. We're going to get back to Ephesus. We're getting back there. But I had to say this. When the church is in order, the Holy Spirit can move. Don't the Bible tells us that God does things what? Decent and in order. And I mentioned this earlier, alluded to this earlier, sometimes you can have so much order that the Holy Ghost can't get in because you just order him right out. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about having biblical order. These ministers had their deacons out taking care of the work of the ministry so that they could spend time in prayer and minister the word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and folks started getting saved. Even the priests, some of them believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are y'all still here? Amen. Glory to God. But that won't happen if all the members of the church want to do is just sit and listen. Sit. There's a time when you need to sit and listen a little bit. But then you need to get to work. How can I get involved in church? How can I help my ministry, my church, go forward? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I could stay on this another hour, but I'm not going to do it. I'm getting ready to close this out. We want to talk a little bit more about Nicholas and the Nicolaitans. It's very interesting, and I didn't get there tonight. But we will get there. Should the Lord tarry, we'll get there. I hope this blesses you.